But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from Ancient of Days. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing our first hymn, Awake My Soul. Please be seated. Oh. good morning, everyone. My name is Justin, and I'm one of the ministers here at Scots Church, and it is my very great pleasure to welcome you to our morning service. If you're joining us online, welcome as well. If you are new, I want to encourage you to fill out our introduction card. We'd love to say hi, we'd love to get to know you, and to let you know all about Scots. You can fill this out either by the QR code or fill this out with a pencil or a pen and drop it off at the church foyer. But do please join us for refreshments after the service over at the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building. Just a reminder that this is our last week for Tuesday night small groups. And we'll be on a break after this Tuesday, and we will resume on in term one of 2025. Now, as you may have noticed, when trying to get in this morning by car, the car park process is a little different this week. Wilson Car Park has transitioned to a new free parking system. And here's a quick guide on how it works. First, there's no longer an entry ticket. When you enter the car park, you'll need to tap in using your credit card or your debit card or your Apple Pay or your Google Pay. Secondly, if you haven't already, please see Michael at reception to collect an exit receipt. This receipt will include a QR code, which is key to exiting the car park, and it looks something like this. Third, before leaving, you must first scan the QR code. The QR code on the receipt at the exit machine. It's similar to scanning your exit ticket from last week. And fourth, only after scanning the QR code, you can tap with the same card that you use to enter. That's it, and then you're good to go. I hope that makes sense. One way for me to think about it is scan, then tap, okay? Scan, then tap. One more important note. Be sure to scan the receipt before tapping out to avoid any parking charges. We really don't want you to pay $40 today. For today, a reef will also be stationed near the boom gate between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. to assist. And if you do need any other assistance, the on-call button is on the machine. I do want to acknowledge Talia, Jonathan North's daughter, who put together these instructions and has put together the following video. So please direct your attention to the screen.
Sunday free parking. When you first arrive, you will need to tap your credit or debit card at the car park gate. Your card will not be charged. After the service, visit the welcome desk in the church and ask for a validation receipt. When you leave the car park, to avoid being charged, make sure to scan the receipt first, before tapping your credit card to open the boom gate. As always, if you have any problems, you can use the call button on the unit to speak to an operator. Thank you for watching. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
I never knew instructions could be so exciting. These instructions are also outlined in your flyer, included with your order of service. Please do take a moment to read it carefully, and thank you for your patience as we adjust to the new parking system. Now, don't forget to put the Scots Christmas dates in your calendar. Particularly this Friday is Handel's Messiah, starting from 7:30 p.m., free admission. Next Sunday, we have our 9 lessons and carols at 11 a.m., and then our Christmas Eve service at 11:30 p.m., on the 24th of December, obviously. And our Christmas Day service is at 10 a.m. Just a reminder that there will be no Scots City service on Christmas Day. Finally, I just want to say welcome back to Arthur and MM. It's good to have you back. Let's sing our next hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we have the privilege to gather as your people this Sunday. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to sing praises, to pray, and to hear from your word. As we draw near to Christmas, remind us that you so loved us that Jesus was willing to come and be born as a human being. That Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So we ask, Father, that you would remind us that Jesus is with us and that he promises to be with us until the very end of the age. This Christmas season, please help us to find our hope in him and him alone, and remind us of your great love, that you are willing to give us your Son. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Kids and teens can now leave for Kids Church. Your leaders are near the coffee machine. Let's sing our offertory hymn, This Is My Will. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word says that you are good to those who hope is in you, to the one who seeks you. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We thank you for your word, which serves as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and strength to our lives. Thank you for the greatest gift the world has received, the gift of your Son, Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again so that we could be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and become part of the family of God. Lord, help us walk in spirit and in truth today and in the days ahead. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, and may everything we do glorify your name. Lord, we pray for your church around the world, including the Scots Church and its members. Please help each one of us to love one another in unity, using the gifts that you have equipped each one of us to build one another up. May we serve you in holiness and righteousness all our days, that we may find joy and contentment in your service and see you add to our number day by day those who are being saved. Help us to show unity in this church and to serve one another. We pray that you would enable us to work together in unity, prayer, and allegiance to your Son, Jesus. to overcome evil and promote true love among your people, amongst all people. We also thank you for the choir and the musicians. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask that you would continue to gift them with skills, that they may continue to serve you in all that they do. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are sick, grieving, or facing difficult times. Thank you for giving them strength, healing, and hope. We also pray for seniors and those in aged care facilities. May they find peace and protection. We give you thanks for those who have recovered. May they continue to be blessed with renewed strength and complete recovery. We pray for the peoples of the world and the leaders of nations that they may seek justice, freedom, and peace for all. We ask that your will would be done and your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. We pray for peace for the conflicts around the world. We ask also for our own country and for all who exercise authority and influence, that they may serve in wisdom, honesty, and compassion. We thank you for your divine providence, that you have placed leaders above us, and we ask, and you ask us to pray for them, that we may lead quiet and godly lives. Finally, loving God, we thank you for all the blessings that we receive daily. Bless the offerings that have been given. Bless the cheerful givers. Bless those who have given electronically. Guide with wisdom and strength those who administer church funds. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. You can follow along in your order of service. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's second Bible reading is from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Deborah, you should do radio work. Oh wait, you do. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And as we draw near to Christmas, as we remember what Christ has done for us, help us to give thanks. Help us to respond. And help us to look to him in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're really close to Christmas, and Advent is a time for us to slow down from our lives, to reset and remember what Christ came to do. That's what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, to remember and give thanks for all that God has done for us. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the faithfulness of God, God's faithfulness through the generations. And then we've considered the faithfulness of Joseph. In the face of shame, he chose other people's interests and not his own. And today we look at the faithfulness of the Magi. I wanted to talk about them because they're not who we expect them to be. Let's have a look at this passage together. Verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, we're not really told much about the Magi. In fact, they appear here and then they disappear. But they're well known. They've been known as wise men. They've been known as kings. Three wise men, three kings. Maybe we know hymns, carols that talk about them. You know, three kings of Orient. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. You know, we often think of them as three, perhaps because they give gifts, treasures of three, don't they? Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. It's why we think of them as three. But in some Christian traditions, there's 12, and they're given names. But we're not told much about the Magi. All we know is that they come from the east to Jerusalem. But it's likely that they aren't kings. They weren't kings. And we're not supposed to think of them as wise men. That's not what Matthew intended here when he writes about the Magi. That's because when we look at other references to Magi in the scriptures, we get a better picture of who they really are. And consider the Old Testament, we find mentions of Magi. For example, in Exodus, when Israel is in Egypt, Moses comes to Pharaoh and demands that Pharaoh let his people go. And there's a competition between Moses and Aaron on the one hand and Pharaoh and the Magi on the other. Servants of Pharaoh, servants of the king who perform magic. They battle it out with Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron prove too much for the Magi, for the magicians. And think of other Old Testament references. There's Balaam, who in Jewish tradition is a Magi. Balaam, a magician who was asked by a foreign king to curse the people of God. But Balaam can't. He tries and he tries to bring himself to curse God and to curse God's people, but he can't. Rather, he sings praises. And think of Daniel, exiled into Babylon, and he is in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He, along with his friends, are asked to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar's own magi, his own enchanters, his own sorcerers, can't interpret the dream. And here we have the Magi. They aren't wise men. They aren't kings. But they are servants of the king. They are likely magicians. They're likely to be astrologers. The Magi aren't God's people. Like Pharaoh's Magi, like Balaam's Magi, like Nebuchadnezzar's Magi, the Magi are Gentiles. Magi are outsiders. They're fools. And so when we come to the Magi here, that's what we are to hear. They're not wise. They're not smart. They're fools. And the point that Matthew is making is that these fools are looking for Jesus. It's not the wise, the strong, or the powerful, but it's the fools. Because if you compare on the one hand the Magi, and on the other hand you have the people of Jerusalem, you have Herod and the chief priests. The Magi on the one hand and Jerusalem on the other. On the one hand, the Magi are from the east. They're likely from Babylon, traveled 1,000 kilometers, likely enduring hardships of an arduous journey, braving deserts, barren wastelands, over mountains and rivers, through the valleys, rain and flood and wind and scorching sun, in order that they might find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Magi. They come all this distance in order to worship the true King of Israel. But on the other hand, Herod, the chief priests and the scribes, Jerusalem, have a look at what they do. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. You know, they're in Jerusalem. And where is Bethlehem? About 10 kilometers away. And we're told that they're troubled, and the people in Jerusalem are troubled. They go searching, and where is this Messiah? Verse 5. The chief priests and the scribes told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, these people in Jerusalem, they know the scriptures well. They know that it is a quote from Micah 5. They know it's a prophecy from the Old Testament. They know the prophets of God. They know the promises of God. They know where the king of the Jews is to arrive, the town of Bethlehem, some 10 kilometers away. But what do they do with that information? What do they do? Nothing. They do nothing with that information. They could have gone to Bethlehem. They could have gone to see the king since they knew the prophecy. They knew the word so well. They knew it like the back of their hand. And yet it had no impact on their lives. They do nothing. They stay where they are. The wise perception of Jerusalem, the mighty power of Jerusalem, the city people of Jerusalem, they do nothing. They hear, but they don't listen. They see, but they don't perceive. Ears that are heavy, eyes that are blind. Maybe they were too busy with the power of Jerusalem, too busy with the things of the world. Here's what one commentator says. What were they doing all day long? Perhaps they were busy with sacrifices and worship, rituals, ceremonies, and religious protocol. Perhaps they were busy with details of the law and textual criticism of the books of the prophets, or busy researching and investigating which parchment scrolls were the originals, which were authoritative or which deserved the stamp of approval. In a word, they were busy with earthly matters, with their own business, and they did not even have the heart to catch a glimpse of things above. They were sticklers for the letter of the law and the words of the prophecies, and they missed that extraordinary spiritual experience. Too busy to miss out on the Savior of the world, too busy to have a relationship with Jesus. But it gets worse for Herod, doesn't it? Have a look at verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." You know, it looks like Herod is genuinely interested in seeking after Jesus to worship him. And I suspect that the Magi thought that King Herod had genuine intentions too. But we know the story, don't we? We know the story where the Magi are warned by God not to return the same way back to Herod. And later on, Herod realizes that he's been tricked by the Magi. And he issues a decree that male children under 2 be killed. You know, Herod's rule is threatened. He's declared himself to be the king of the Jews, a ruler under Rome's authority. And here's the thing, you can't have two kings, can you? The Magi, the fools of the world on the one hand, and Herod, the power of the world. Magi who are honest, Herod dishonest, Magi who seek to worship, Herod who seeks to destroy. On the one hand you have Magi, and on the other you have Jerusalem. And here's the thing, Matthew is showing us a paradox here. Those who had the scriptures, those who heard the prophets, were actually the blind ones, the deaf ones, the ones who were willing not to worship the newborn king. And the fools of the earth, they're the ones to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus, 30 years later, he speaks truth, doesn't he? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus turns our world upside down and inside out. It's not the powerful, the wisdom of the world that inherits the earth, but it's the meek, the fools of the world that inherit the earth. In fact, Paul the Apostle talks about the foolishness of God being greater and wiser than man's wisdom. It is God's foolishness that he would speak to the Magi, the fools, rather than the rich, the famous, the powerful of their time, like Herod, the scribes, and the chief priests. The kingdom of God is filled with people who look like fools, like Joseph Henry Davies, a missionary sent out from this very church in 1889. Maybe you know his story. Left Melbourne along with his sister Mary on the 21st of August, 1889. Left as the first Australian missionary to Korea. And he travelled 40 days by boat to Incheon. Then a day's journey to Seoul on horseback. Taking 5 months of language training. And then walking 20 days across difficult country to reach Busan. And you might ask, what was to become of his efforts to preach the gospel? Did he plant a church? Did he preach a sermon? Did he care for the poor? Nope. When he arrived in Busan, he died the very next day. You know, to many, Joseph Henry Davies would have been thought of as a fool, as a failure. But God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, because Joseph Henry Davies' efforts were not wasted. In response to giving his life, 126 Australian men and women followed the example of Davies, willing to give their lives as missionaries to Korea. At least 7 of the 126 of them who followed in Davies' footsteps never saw their family again. Thousands of churches and pastors from Busan have sprung up and to continue the work of preaching the gospel. The very call of Joseph Henry Davies, the local Christians shape the spiritual, political, and educational life of this nation. Now, because of Joseph Henry Davies' obedience, Korea is now listed as in the top 5 missionary sending countries in the world. You know, Joseph Henry Davies never saw the result of his dream to preach the gospel in Busan, but God's foolishness is greater and more wise than any human wisdom. The foolishness of Joseph Henry Davies, the foolishness of the Magi, the foolishness of God, greater than the wisdom of Jerusalem. And God is not found in riches or power or fame, but God is found in the foolish, in the weak, and in the humble. Now, Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem, was he? Not amongst power or privilege or possessions. But you know the story. And I wanted to ask at this point, can I respectfully ask, do you find yourself tempted by the powers and prestige and possessions of the world? Because the kingdom of heaven is not found in any of that. But the kingdom of God is found in weakness, in what the world sees as foolishness, in what the world sees as a stumbling block. Because the weakness of God is stronger than men, because the manger is stronger than Jerusalem's throne, because the cross is stronger than Rome. We may be considered fools according to the world, but in God's eyes, you are wise. But as we finish, let's look at again at what the Magi do and their faithfulness. Verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Do you notice their reaction? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, that's a lot of joy. They fell down and worshipped him. They fall down at the feet of a child. Now, Christmas is a time of great joy, isn't it? Because of the greatest gift that we receive in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when we recognize Jesus as the King, not just the King of the Jews, but as King of the whole universe, then we're going to be like the Magi. We're going to fall down at his feet on our knees. We're going to worship him. We're going to humble ourselves and we're going to give him praise. We're going to worship him and we're going to give him gifts. We're going to offer up to him our greatest treasures because he is worthy. And that was the case for a certain queen. I'm told the story of Queen Victoria, the great-great-grandmother of Queen Elizabeth. And apparently the story goes like this. One of Queen Victoria's chaplains had been preaching on the second coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus, and after this chaplain had preached, the queen exclaimed, "Oh, how I wish that the Lord would come in my lifetime." The chaplain asked, "Why does your majesty feel this very earnest desire?" And the queen replied with quivering lips, and her whole countenance lighted up with deep emotion. "Because I should so love to lay my crown at his feet. Because I would love to lay my crown at his feet." This Christmas, let's lay down our crowns and give him our treasures. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for he shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, today we lay down our crowns at his feet and we give up our very treasures, even if it makes us look like fools to the world, because your foolishness is wiser than any wisdom of this world. We pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us to do that this Christmas. Thank you for Jesus and what he has done, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's sing our hymn of response, The First Noel.
Thank you.
was powerful. Amazing. Thank you for joining us here in person and on the live stream. Before I do give you the benediction, just a reminder to grab your exit receipt from Michael at the front desk. Be sure to scan, then tap. And if you have any troubles, a reef will be there at the exit gate between 12 and 1. Here's the benediction. This Christmas, may the hope, God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.